Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So were there books you read as a child that so drew you into their world that you thought maybe you had lived them and so anchored your childhood self that when you think about them now, the sight of the book covers will take you back to your childhood self? The Harry Potter books may have that effect on today's children. But for many women who were girls in the 1970s and 80s, it was the Laura Ingalls Wilder's Little House series that resonated in that way. Writer and children's book editor Wendy McClure was one of those girls, and she's written about her attempt to find what she calls Laura's world as an adult, exploring historical sites, butter churns, and the politics the author left out of her stories along the way. Wendy McClure is a columnist for Bust magazine, a children's book editor, and her new book is called The Wilder Life, My Adventures in the Lost World of Little House on the Prairie. Wendy McClure, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian.
And you write in your book that these books could have been seen as the literary equivalent of long underwear. So maybe you want to translate that for us and tell us, what did a future Bust and Television Without Pity blog contributor get from Little House on the Prairie?
Well, what I meant about the literary equivalent of long underwear is that in earlier generations, those books, were in hardcover. They were the kind of books that your grandmother would give you. They were popular definitely back in the day when they first came out in the 30s and 40s, but there was really sort of an interesting resurgence in the 70s, both when the books came out in paperback in 1971 and then with the popular television show in 1974 on NBC. And I feel like I'm part of the generation, that latter generation who discovered the books.
Did it have to do with the feminism of the 70s or Nixon or what caused that resurgence?
I think it was a lot of things. I think it was in part the 70s were, they were kind of a complicated time. And I think as kids, we read these books and could see that things were easier. I believed in, equality for men and women and girls and boys, but at the same time, I wanted to wear a long dress. And I loved the way the Little House books sort of reconciled that for me, because you had this very strong heroine who didn't really seem to be limited by her time, and she could go around and climb haystacks and do all kinds of rough things and get in adventures, but still be a girl at the same time.
Listeners, any 70s era Little House on the Prairie readers as well as watchers listening right now, are these books formative for you? 212-433-WNYC. Did you have, as a little kid growing up, as perhaps steeped simultaneously in the feminist future and some kind of Little House nostalgia, did you experience that tension Wendy McClure was just talking about? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Wendy, were they formative for you? That is, did they influence you, or did you just like them?
I think I really liked them. What I loved about them is not so much, people talk about their values, but for me, I feel like the point of view, the perspective of this girl's look at the world, it was just so immediate for me, just to the extent that it really taught me a lot about just how to live in the world and look at things and observe. And I feel like I learned a lot as a writer, actually, from those books.
And did they stand up to adult reading when you went back to them to write your book? Did you discover that, you discovered that they were really kind of a memoir. And did the fact that Laura Ingalls Wilder was a quasi-fictional character ruin things for you? Or did they stand up or not in other ways?
They did stand up. It was funny because I hadn't read them in decades. And as a children's book editor, you read a lot of historical fiction. Mm-hmm. And I think I sort of had it in my head that, this was, the books were just going to be like that. And I knew the genre pretty well. And I think I was a little afraid to go back and see that they were just, just like any other kind of, you know, historical fiction. And it was really a revelation when I went back and read them and found out that they were just, you know, so wonderfully written and, you know, and still just so engaging.
Claudine, I'm sorry, go ahead, finish your thought.
Okay. And so it was really... I guess it was just really, it was really a revelation, and it was really, really delighted to return to them.
Claudine in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Thanks so much for calling.
Thanks for having me. I love the show.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to say that I grew up watching the show, and I'd actually read the books myself later in life. And watching the show as a young black girl growing up in, you know, urban New Jersey, I identified so closely with Laura Ingalls as a character, even though at the same time I was desperate for some kind of outward connection to the show. It just seemed like there was nothing that represented the African-American experience at that time. And I remember for a long time feeling like, did black people even exist in this world that she lived in? And it wasn't until, I believe, later in the series that they brought in a couple of black characters. First, there was the... a woman that worked with Laura's mom in the kitchen, I believe in the restaurant, and then later a young, what's the guy's name? Bridges.
Uh-huh. Wendy?
Todd Bridges came on the show as a young, I think, slave boy.
Wendy, yeah. The books would have been even more alarming to Claudine, right?
In some ways, well, there's definitely a mixed record. In Little House on the Prairie, you know, there's one scene where the Ingalls family comes down with malaria, and they are treated by a black doctor, and so he's sort of kind of a hero figure. But then later on in the books, in a little town on the prairie, when they're out in South Dakota, the town is having a sort of a night of entertainment, and that includes a minstrel show. And going back and seeing that was pretty dismaying. I mean, extremely.
Indeed. Claudine, what?
I was just going to say that it's hard as an adult to go back and see the shows which still play on the Hallmark Channel and mm-hmm. identify so completely with the show and the character, but then also feel so almost cheated by it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. Claudine, thank you. Call us again. Jessica in Edison, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jessica.
Oh, I feel like I'm listening to myself. I grew up on the books, born in 1971, grew up on the TV show, and what I remember about them is how hard the life was. So I was reading these books. They were probably the first books I could read alone, and I couldn't believe time after time their crop is destroyed by the locusts, by the blizzards, by fires, and they keep on going. And I think I could not believe, one, how hard their life was, and two, how strong they were, including Ma and, you know, and the girls, to really keep going. So growing up, I think it's great role models for girls of the strength of American women, even though it's of its age. You know, it doesn't hold up in all the ways, like you're saying, but the women figures are unbelievable, and especially, of course, Laura.
Wendy?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think it's worth noting that the books were first published in the 1930s when, you know, there was really sort of a need for sort of, you know, people were really looking for stories about survival and about getting through hard times. When the editor who had published Little House in the Big Woods first read the manuscript, she said later that, you know, her reaction was, well, this is the book that no depression can stop. Mm. And so I think even from the start, you know, these have always been books that are sort of meant to inspire.
Let's see if I can sneak in two other great callers with very different kinds of experiences. Bruni in Stuytown, you're on WNYC. I got to get you right to the point.
Loved those series. I read every single book as a child. I would go to the library, wait for the next one. It was this wonderful installment series. Can't wait to read the next book. And here I was, a Puerto Rican girl, you know, mm-hmm. who one would think could not relate to this Western child in the 18 or whatever. And I absolutely, totally identified with her.
Thank you. And Richard in Manhattan, you were 10 in 1955.
Yeah, I'm 65 now, and I think I read every one of the books. I remember a long shelf of orange books, hardcovers, and I remember I used to sit in front of the books and just push them back and pull one out.
Well, as a boy, and before the TV show, why in 10 seconds?
It was very, very powerful. The TV show never grabbed me in the 70s.
Richard, I have to leave it there. And I just want to get one other thing in for you, Wendy, real quick. We have like 30 seconds. But Rose Wilder, Laura's daughter, turns out to have helped found the Libertarian Party.
That's right.
She helped write the books. So I'm imagining Amazon, you know, with a little house book. Readers who bought this book also bought Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand. Or something. What's the connection?
It's interesting knowing that and going back and reading the books, because you can definitely see parts, you know, where you can tell, oh, I think Rose put that in. You know, there are definitely some interesting little bits of speeches delivered by various characters, such as Mr. Edwards, who I think in some ways is sort of a kind of a spokesperson for Rose's politics.
Right. Wendy McClure has written The Wilder Life, My Adventures in the Lost World of Little House on the Prairie. Now, do I have this right? You are tweeting as Laura Ingalls Wilder under the handle at Half Pint Ingalls?
Yes, that's right.
All right.
Kind of irreverently.
Thank you very much.
Really,
great job. Thank you very much. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, thanks so much for listening today. Hope to talk to you tomorrow.